Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. I am live on remote today, but Willie D and D-Mace are back in our game studios. How we doing?
What up?
Are you broadcasting live from a wedding somewhere? Caroline, where are you?
No wedding this weekend. I'm in Atlanta this weekend, but there is no wedding, much to probably everyone's surprise.
Yes.
I had my last wedding of 2023 last weekend, so we have come to a close.
Okay, how many was the count for 2023?
Oh, wow. Over 10.
Double digits.
Is that a record? Oh, my goodness.
And I have at least two every month for the first 6 months of 2024. So we are not done yet.
So you might break 2023's record early in 2024.
Easily.
Well, listen, you're going to run out of... Everybody's going to be married, so hopefully by 2025, you ain't got to do this no more.
But at the rate that some of my friends are having babies, then once my friends are done getting married, then the babies are going to get married. And it's just, it's going to be a constant cycle.
Well, you're going to have baby showers you got to attend and all that stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, welcome to your mid to late 20s.
Boom.
Well, enjoy. We are just... It is a blast. I love it. As much as we joke about it, as much as I might complain about it, I absolutely love it, and it's a blast. But we are just a few days away from the Titans' home opener taking on the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And this feels like a big one, and not a big one in that this is a must-win game, not a big one in that you might win or lose the division or make or not make the playoffs. It just feels like holistically for the confidence of the team, for the fan base, this is a big one on Sunday, a confidence reassuring game.
I think, is it a must win? No, I don't think it is with, 15 games after this one left. I don't think the second game of the season is a must win. But I do believe that, this team needs to get that bad taste out of their mouth. We talked ad nauseum this week about the missed opportunities that the Titans had. And the one thing that you want to do as a player, you want to get back on the field as fast as you possibly can to try to correct those mistakes and to sort of write a new narrative for the upcoming week and the upcoming game. So from that standpoint, this is a situation or opportunity. Like I said, I believe they're going to play better, but what does playing better equate to? I think they need to play better, in this game. Now, whether they win or not, I don't know. But if they come out of this game and all of us can look and say, you know what, that offense looked much different than what it did in the first game. That secondary looked much different than what it did in the first game. I think it gives the fan optimism moving forward because the LA Chargers are, they're a high-scoring team. They're an explosive team. And, if the Titans can, get out of Nissan Stadium with a victory, or if they just play, different or better than what they played last week, I think the fan base will feel a little bit different, entering into their third game. I think is against Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken. So they have to play a lot better to sort of change the feeling around town here.
And they're an underdog. They're an underdog at home. Mm-hmm. They're not expected to win this game to some degree. It's a 3-point spread, so it's one of those – games, there's 10 of them every week, mm-hmm. where it really feels like it could go either way. There's a couple of key guys injured for both teams. I would expect a completely different style from the Chargers as we saw from the Saints. So who knows what kind of game we're going to see, but I do think there's urgency there. I would not say must win.
I would agree. And I do feel like as a sports society, we throw around the term must win maybe a little bit too willy-nilly. We throw the term must win around in a game that if you lose that game, like you're going to be okay. A must win is you lose and you go home, you win and you advance. Like a playoff game, that is a must win game. I think that this is a must prove that we are making progress and we are a better team than we were last week game. I think that if it comes down to 33-30, Chargers win, it's a shootout, the offense looks better, the defense is able to stop at least a little bit what the Chargers want to do. It needs to be a game, in my opinion, where Ryan Tannehill is taking care of the football, where receivers are catching the balls, Tannehill is hitting receivers, you're able to run the ball efficiently, the offensive line at least does their job, the defensive line gets pressure on the quarterback, like things that we expect and things that we didn't get last week. And last week, the defensive line got pressure on the quarterback, those things. But you know, I think it mostly kind of hones in offensively that this offense at least needs to look evolved. This offense needs to look cleaner, even if it ends in a loss. Like I can live with a loss. When you're staring at the end of 0-2, of course, that's an uncomfortable feeling. Absolutely 100%. I just need to see improvement.
Yeah, they're going to have to connect because in watching the game, I don't think there was this, you know, this play calling that was just, you know, bad play calling from Tim Kelly. I think that the opportunities were missed, you know, against the last opponent. But, you know, this offense must capitalize on those three or four plays, because you're only in this game, you're only going to get 3 to 5 opportunities to make big plays in games that you draw up that just may work. And when you draw them up and you have people running wide open, you got to capitalize on them, because if you don't, you may not get another opportunity to make a big play again in the game. So that's what the Titans got to do in this game, is hit those big plays, because I have confidence in Tim Kelly that he's going to call a good game. Do everyone have confidence in Ryan Tannehill that he's going to orchestrate that offense the way it needs to be? Is he going to hit those deep plays down the field that are drawn up where guys are wide open? Because we had 3 or 4 of those this past weekend, and he didn't hit them. So this week you figure they're going to be there. Now you got to hit them.
Well, that brings to mind one thing I've been thinking about is what are we going to see from the crowd? Like, think about the first game in New Orleans. Was the crowd a factor? Mm-hmm. They fumble on the first play of the game, the Saints, but their crowd helps draw a false start on the first play from scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And they got 2 of them during the first drive. So the crowd can be a factor. I want to see what kind of crowd the Titans have, number one. That's always something I'm looking for with the new turf. You know, you got the plans for the new stadium. They're notorious for the other team's fans being in the seats, but the Chargers are not a team that usually brings a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So it should be all Titans fans there. So be a factor in the game. But at the same token, if Tannehill struggles, what does the crowd sound like, right? That's going to be something to keep your eye on. And hopefully he shakes out of it and he makes a statement that, yeah, I'm still the quarterback of this team, and last week is in the past. Let's look ahead. Because he's going to need to play well for them to win. Yes. You're probably not going to shut the Chargers down. Although last year it was surprising how little the Chargers offense, as talented as their pieces are, ended up with, you know, 17 to 20 points. They struggled a lot last year, but they look like they've got some stuff fixed and they're relatively healthy on offense, although Eckler has not practiced the last 2 days. That's something to look for today.
Will, you mention what the crowd might sound like if Tannehill doesn't look good? I think the crowd's going to sound a lot like how it did in the season opener 2 seasons ago when the Titans hosted Arizona and they started booing Taylor
They
LeLong.
Got restless. Yeah. They got restless in the very first game, no question.
And I don't blame them. And this is a restlessness that doesn't just come from last week against the Saints. this is a restless Knicks that I think is kind of a hangover from last season. And you could even say that it's a hangover from two seasons ago when Ryan Tannehill threw three interceptions in the playoff game. There is still a bad taste in everyone's mouth about that game, that the reputation and the trust in Tannehill has shifted absolutely since that game. And while I don't think that his play last year hurt the Titans and his play was the reason why the Titans missed the playoffs, the quarterbacks are a win-or-loss stat, whether that is fair or not. So that, you know, it could absolutely be a factor. But D-Mace, you mentioned one thing, and I want to get into that coming up next. And that's, you said, I have confidence in Tim Kelly calling a good game. What exactly does that look like? What do we want to see from Tim Kelly? What is a good called game? What is a good offensive day for the Titans look like? We will get into that coming up next. And of course, we will get to your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
A lot of new pieces on the offensive side of the ball. Was it maybe just a matter of trying to everybody get into a rhythm together?
Yeah. I've got to do a better job of doing that, of getting those guys into a rhythm. You know, there were times where we were able to kind of put some drives together and get the drive started. And that's when we were obviously most effective and able to move the football. But I've got to do a better job with our drive starters to make sure that we're getting our guys into a rhythm sooner.
There you go. That was Titans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. Got to be better than last week. We heard that from Tannehill. We heard that from Vrabel. Got to coach better. Got to play better. In Tim Kelly's case, got to call better. But D-Mace mentioned something in the last segment. He said, I have confidence that Tim Kelly can call a good game. In your opinion, in both of your opinions, what does that look like? Like, what does the optimal Titans offense, Tim Kelly offensive play called game look like?
I think you just got to stay ahead of the sticks. And you know, that right there doesn't necessarily fall on him. I think you can't have any pre-snap penalties, post-snap penalties, and they had those last week. So you got to start, one, you got to be disciplined. And then, two, you have to find a way to get your playmakers inserted in the game early. Don't wait until the second half. Don't look up on your stat book and see, not necessarily yardage, but see, well, damn, we only – targeted Traylon one time, or we only targeted, you know, Tajay Spears out of the backfield one time, or we only tried to get Chig the ball one time. You don't ever want to do that, go at halftime and do that as a coordinator and look at the sheet and say, oh my goodness, now we need to start ramping it up. No, you got to make sure everyone stays in the flow of the game. We're not talking about guys that are screaming and yelling for the football, because it doesn't seem like they have guys on their team that are willing to do that. Everybody's, you know, sort of fit the Vrabel model. Just do your job. That's about it. Don't complain about anything else. But even with that, you can't allow, like I said this earlier this week, you can't allow your playmakers to just sort of float through the game and you're not involving them in the game. Because if you don't involve a player in the game, he tends to wander. So Kelly, to me, must find a way to get everybody involved. Don't let the defense dictate what you do. You dictate how the defense is going to play you. If that means giving the ball to Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears, then you do it. If that means, you know, distributing the ball across the board to the wide receivers, that's what you do. You got to be aggressive. You got to stay ahead of the defensive coordinator. Get the defensive coordinator to thinking what you're doing next. Don't worry too much about what the defense is going to do. You got to make them sort of succumb to what you're doing. So to me, that's what Tim Kelly has to do. I thought he had a good game plan last week. They just missed opportunities. That was not Tim Kelly's fault.
I completely agree. I thought that they called a game that was good enough to win. I thought they didn't execute opportunities that were there. And we've been through it all week. The best teams whether you're talking about offense, defense, especially if they improve every week, it's a new offense. Mm-hmm. You've got new pieces. So that's going to be the key. You're going to lose games because of one reason or another. It's a tough league. It's hard to win. Every game seems to be close. The key is to keep shaping and getting better. I would like to see a little bit more involvement from Burks. I'm really curious what happens if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't mm-hmm. play, because that might end up being a positive in some ways, because it's going to force them to get other people involved, and then maybe when Hopkins comes back, then you have a more balanced attack, and you're not so focused on, we got to get D-Hop the touches. Last night, I thought about this when you guys were sending me, and I was watching the game when A.J. Brown was over on the sideline, and he was probably a little frustrated. A.J. Brown for the Eagles last night, he got more targets than Devontae Smith, but there was a point in the game where he wasn't involved very much. Mm-hmm. But what was there is the run game was the run game. So DeAndre Swift has a huge game. They're running. They're winning. But you can't always please everybody,
yeah.
right? It's hard to just draw up the perfect game plan where everybody gets the ball the right amount of times and everything goes well. Like it doesn't work like that.
Across the board, right? Yes. No, you're right.
Yeah, go ahead. In a kindergarten class, sharing is caring. This is not the kindergarten class. This is the NFL, baby. You know, you got to do whatever is working. And I can't say that not having a future Hall of Famer out there in a position where you don't have a lot of speed and you don't have a lot of veteran presence is a good thing for the Titans. But that is one thing that I do want to see from Tim Kelly is don't force feed the ball. And I don't know if that was a Tim Kelly thing. I don't know if that was a Tannehill read option kind of thing. And the first thing that he did was pop up, lock his eyes on DeAndre and deliver him the ball. But whether it's DeAndre, whether it's Traylon, whoever it might be, I don't want to see any individual receiver get force fed, because that's where I saw the Titans get themselves in a lot of holes last week against the Saints. Was Tannehill just force feeding the ball to DeAndre, or Tannehill trying to fit the ball to Chris Moore in double coverage? And then we saw how that ended up. One thing that TD broke down for me, whenever this was right around when Tim Kelly was named the offensive coordinator, you know, TD was breaking down Texans film mm-hmm. when Tim Kelly was calling offensive plays for the Texans. And he showed me, he said, one thing that I've noticed that Tim Kelly did really well with the Texans was get the defense comfortable and then pull the rug from underneath them. Like, we'll run to the right for a gain of two, run to the right for a gain of three. And then the defense gets used to where you're going and is expecting you to run to the right, and then you run to the left. So that's what I want to see, a little bit of unpredictability. And that doesn't mean, you know, creativity and that you're taking snaps at a wildcat every single snap. That's not what I mean by creativity or unpredictability. It's creativity and personnel packages, and it's trying to mix things up and trying to keep this Chargers defense on their toes.
And I would think, too, part of that is the continued building of a rhythm between Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears. It's clear that they want Spears to be a part of this offense mm-hmm. and not just a couple series when you're resting Derrick Henry. Like, they want the two of them to mesh, and it's still working itself out, right? We've debated all week. Was it wrong to do what they did, right, and mix Spears in there as much as they did? Maybe that's a tweak here and there. But ultimately, they want both of those guys to be good. So you can have a little more, as you're saying, Carolina, a little pull the rug out from under. What we're expecting this, you get that. Like, I think you can do that with Spears. You couldn't do that as much if it's just Derrick Henry back there. You're trying to grow another layer to your offense. And Rome wasn't built in a day, right? But they have to show progress week to week for it to be good.
And that's what I'm looking for Tim Kelly to do. We must remember this. Even though he's been on this coaching staff for 2 years now, this is his first year as a play caller with the Tennessee Titans and this group of guys. Even last year, come and then fast forward to this year, it's not the same group of guys. You're working with a different group of catchers. The only guys, there are, what, three guys really back from last year's skill position as far as wide receiver that made an impact in the games last year. That's Derrick Henry, Chigakonkwo, and Treylon Burks. Now, Treylon was hurt. We can throw Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in there as well. But now you're throwing to other guys that you want to be playmakers in this offense. So as a coordinator, that because of, you know, not playing as much, this is why preseason may look a little bit different next year for this team. Because when you're ushering in new players, you got to find that rhythm between the quarterback and the receivers, or the quarterback and the running backs coming out of backfield. And practice alone is not going to do it. You got to be in game type situation, pressure situations. As much as you practice, it's not giving you pressure situations like a game does. When you're in a game, these things come up, then you find out who your playmakers are. Last week, they were not able to find out who their true playmakers were because they didn't connect on the plays they should have. I look for this week to be a more balanced attack in regards to how the ball is distributed, or at least the plays that are called so the ball can be distributed more, a little bit more evenly. Everything is not going to be 8, 8, and 8, and 8 as far as targets, but you want to get it so where the defense doesn't know who you're throwing the ball to. That's why Kansas City, that's why the Dolphins, and even Buffalo to an extent. That's why these teams are good. Go back to the Tom Brady days or the Peyton Manning days or the Drew Brees days. They were so good because you couldn't zero in on who they were going to throw it to. You knew who the playmakers were. You knew who the potential Hall of Famers were, but they did a great job at distributing the ball to everybody. They made everybody feel a part of the game. And when you feel a part of the game, you run every play as if you're going to get the ball. That's what these need. That's what these receivers and running backs need to feel this game. Like every route that I'm running, I feel I have an opportunity to get the ball.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your calls and your texts. Plus, coming up next, look, I love to look into things. I love to nitpick things. We all do. We all overreact sometimes. But this was on another level, and we'll explain coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, hey, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU Blue Raider football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6 p.m. at home against Murray State. Pre-game beginning at 5 p.m. You can hear all the coverage on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com.
Sorry for the answer already.
No.
Ryan's decision-making overall.
Well, the decision-making, we just have to be more decisive in all three phases. Figure out, what it is that allows our players to play decisive and play better, especially in an environment like this. Ryan will be better. We'll coach better, and we'll get open quicker, and we'll block a little longer than we did today going forward, because that's what we have to do.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel earlier this week at the podium. Caroline Willie DeMays, 125-106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Was there anything that either of you heard from Mike Vrabel this week that made you raise an eyebrow about Ryan Tannehill? Was there anything that Mike Vrabel said that you thought wasn't true or wasn't completely out of line?
For me, no.
Was completely out of line.
For me, no. I what I heard there, and I heard Jared try to break down that comment, and he had his own interpretation of what he heard there. What I heard there was, look, we got a new offense. Mm-hmm. You have got to get to a point where the quarterback especially, but everybody on that offense, is fluid, knows their role, knows the plays without thinking. Like if you take that quote a little bit further, he said, we want to give the guys a couple of slivers of details to think about. But if I give you six things going to every play, all right, Derek, you're the quarterback. Remember, you got this guy over here, you got this guy over here, he's good, and you got this coverage over here. If I fill your mind with too much clutter and you're thinking too much when you're going – the game's too fast. You're not going to be able to process it. You just have to know it. So that just takes some time. But I think you want to get to that point where everybody's more on the same page. Again, you got to be realistic. This is new. They're trying to move forward. Maybe they have to take a step back before they move forward. But a veteran quarterback, you hope, has to pick up on that quick.
Yeah, they have to – what I heard in that situation – And the question was asked pertaining to the quarterback, but Vrabel made it about the team, which he more than likely, like 99% of the time, that's what he is accustomed to, making it about the team and not about one particular individual. He said, we need to be more decisive. And yes, we can look at that and watch the film and say, well, Ryan Tannehill, you know, he just needs to be more decisive in what he sees, read the defense. He had guys open here. He has guys open there. He got to hit guys here. But decisiveness doesn't always just fall on a quarterback. Receivers, believe what you see. If you see zone and you're reading and you're running it, just be decisive in what you see. The minute you hesitate, you throw the quarterback off. That's what people don't understand. It's like when he's talking about decisiveness, he's not just talking about the quarterback. He's talking about receivers reading the defense. If you believe that's the defense you see, then run it. Don't hesitate, because the minute you hesitate, you throw the quarterback off. Not a quarterback sitting there patting the ball and don't have anywhere to go. If you determine what you're doing, if it's wrong, I know it's wrong. Now I can go to my next player. But if you're sitting there and you're half-assing it down the field jogging, then the quarterback's like, okay, what is he going to do? What is he going to do? Then now I'm too late to go off the next guy and hit the next guy. It's about the running backs. You see a hole, be decisive and see it. Run through it. Don't hesitate, because the minute you hesitate and pat your feet, the defense is able to get on you. Derrick Henry, that was a problem of his early on in his career. He sort of waited and was hesitant instead of just hitting the hole. Well, Derek has to get back to that. Just hit the hole and trust that your offensive line is going to do what they need to do. Young guys, see it, believe it, and run it. We'll correct you when you come back on the sideline. Deep from a defensive standpoint, if you see it, play it. If you see that route, jump on it. Don't be hesitant. Don't be looking in the backfield. Believe what you see. Trust your eyes. Defensive backs say that all the time. Trust your eyes. And it just seems like they're not trusting their eyes and they're hesitant. So when he says that, he's not just talking about the quarterback, but the question was directed toward the quarterback, but he's talking about everybody. Be decisive in what you're doing.
And I think we would all agree that what Mike Vrabel said there was true.
Yeah, it
I
was true.
Be better.
Yeah.
Coaching staff has to be better. Ryan has to be better. We all have to be better. I don't think you can step away from a loss in the National Football League and not say, what was it that we could do better? So you could imagine my shock and honestly frustration when I heard Ian Rappaport say this on the NFL Network yesterday.
I would always say no, that it's ridiculous, right? Because it's literally one game. But it's not really one game, because it was also kind of last year, and obviously they had Malik Willis last year, and they went out and they drafted Will Levis in the second round, actually traded up to draft Will Levis in the second round, which somehow makes it more urgent. I don't know why, but that's kind of what it feels like. And then you read Vrabel's comments. We have to be better. Ryan has to be better. We have to hit guys that are open. You can't force the ball into double coverage. Like, that is rare, right? Like, there's not I cannot think really in recent memory when you hear a coach be, he's not wrong, obviously. Of course he's right. But, like, that's pretty real. And obviously him and Tannehill have to have a good relationship for him to be able to say that publicly. But that, to me, Mike, at least kind of starts the clock of, like, we're going to at least think about it. And I know everyone sort of decided that Malik Willis sucks after last year. Sounds like he had a really good camp, and I don't know that he sucks anymore. He might actually be an interesting option here for the Titans. We'll see, though.
Like, is it rare for a coach to say that the quarterback needs to be better after throwing three interceptions? Like, there was nothing that Mike Vrabel said in this press conference that led me to believe that the clock is ticking on Ryan Tannehill. I think drafting Malik Willis set the clock on Ryan Tannehill. Drafting Will Levis set the clock on Ryan Tannehill. The fact that Ryan Tannehill is 35 years old and he has a contract that is running out in a couple of years, that sets the clock on Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if Ian Rappaport just read a transcript of what Mike Vrabel said, or if he actually listened to it and that's what he took away from it.
He clearly didn't call Mike Vrabel and ask.
Exactly.
Because, how many times do we have this discussion, Caroline, when you're covering the league, and Ian Rappaport is a good reporter on the league, but Look, if the three of us started talking about the Seahawks and what went wrong, they got embarrassed on their home field against the Rams, who aren't supposed to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
If we started having a discussion from here in Nashville about what's going on in Seattle, some Seattle fans would probably say, those guys don't have any clue. Because mm-hmm. we're coming from 40,000 feet, right? We're coming from afar. We didn't watch the full game. Or even if we did, we didn't watch all the practices and all the preseason. Ian Rappaport didn't watch the Titans a whole lot. He's guessing.
Well, he told you because he said, I don't know if Malik Willis has improved.
So put no stock in that. None.
But I'm saying, like, if we as people who cover the Titans mm-hmm. in Nashville, saying it on our radio show, talking about the Seahawks, I think that's different than Ian Rappaport, a league insider, saying it on the league network. And this is the kind of thing that is frustrating to me that I think just fuels false narratives, is when it comes from somebody with as much skin on the walls and as much as great of a reputation as Ian Rappaport has across the league. Look, there's nothing that Mike Vrabel said that made me believe that now he feels so much differently about Ryan Tannehill. Now Ryan Tannehill's time as the starter is expiring all of a sudden, even though they've drafted a quarterback in two consecutive drafts and haven't extended him. So it's just, it's frustrating. Does Ryan need to be better? Yes, absolutely, 100% he does. And there's no hidden narrative in there, in my opinion.
Well, if this was game seven and, you know, Ryan had been having trouble, you know, throughout the first seven games, and say their record was 3-4 or 2-5, then okay, I would say, this is the clock has started on Ryan Tannehill. If he doesn't get it right this next game, then he may be sitting.
Then it's time to have a conversation.
Exactly,
about
but this
it,
is
sure.
after the second game, and Ian Rappaport even told in what he was saying, he said, "Listen, Malik Willis got better. Well, I think he did. That's what I heard. He's gotten better. I don't." So he's telling you he's not watching his team as closely as, you know, somebody locally here that is watching his team. And I don't think anyone listened to Vrabel from a local standpoint anyway. Listened to Vrabel and thought, oh my goodness, Ryan Tannehill is on the clock right now. No, we all know the deal here.
He's been on the clock.
Yeah, they drafted a quarterback last year. They drafted a quarterback this year. When they draft a quarterback 2 years in a row in the first three rounds, that is a notification to the starting quarterback, like, we're looking for our next guy. So it wasn't – the clock didn't start on him for this game. The clock started when they start drafting quarterbacks because they know eventually Ryan – is not going to be our guy moving forward. So we got to usher in, you know, a new guy in here sometime. So I don't, you know, fans, Titan fans, when you hear Ian Rappaport speak in regards to this situation, I think you take it with a grain of salt and you move on. Because I don't think Vrabel is anywhere close to thinking about making a switch. Now, again, if we're seven games in, they got a losing record, Ryan Tannehill's not playing well, or even six games in, then, yeah, maybe the heat is starting to turn up on him. I can see that, but not after one game.
Well, as we talk about the clock for Ryan Tannehill, what happens to that clock if Ryan Tannehill isn't better than last week? If we see the same Ryan Tannehill we saw against the Saints? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
You kind of want this game to come fast, to get out there and...
Yeah, no question. You know, as soon as I got on the bus, you know, I was texting with Tim and just said, you know, Sunday can't come fast enough. Just want to get back out there, want to play again as soon as possible. But, you know, have some work to do in order to be prepared and be ready to go. But yeah, definitely want to get out there and have another opportunity.
Hill earlier this week, and look, I get it. I totally understand Ryan Tannehill being, you know, anxious and nervous and just ready to go out there and prove himself. Go out there and prove himself again that, hey, that's not me. That is not me. I cannot wait to get out there and redeem myself and this team. I totally understand. We've probably all been there at some point or another. You feel like you failed and you say, no, I just want another opportunity. Let me do it again. I know that I can do it. But my question is, What if Ryan Tannehill goes out there against the Chargers and it's not better than last week, that he's still missing receivers and he continues to throw interceptions and turn the ball over and not be able to execute this offense at a very high level? Then what?
Well, I think we just got done saying it. I don't think it would be panic button time if it continues to trend. I think the real marker is about 4 to 6 games, depending on what you see. I still think this team is going to be right around 500 for most of the year. So there's going to be some good weeks and bad weeks. I still don't think, if I have to guess, as long as he's healthy, I just don't think his level of play is going to be that bad every week. I'd be really surprised. And he's earned enough, 36 and 20 as the starter, that even if he struggles again this week, then I don't think there's any question that he is starter in week 3, 4, 5. Now, the question is, if you're out of it, there's two reasons you change the quarterback. Either you're out of it and you want to take a look at young guys, or you think one of the young guys gives you a better chance to win right now. I don't feel like right now either one of the young guys is in that question for number two. But if you're out of it, you don't think you can win, start the clock on one of the young guys, see what you got, let them sink or swim, work out the kinks, see what you've got, then that's what they have to do.
Yeah, I mean,
this is all hypothetical.
Yes, this is, I think we're playing this game a little bit too early, and I get it. I understand why, because of how the season ended with the Titans last year. From a national standpoint, how Ryan Tannehill looked the last time the nation saw him up beside this previous game with the New Orleans Saints. So I get why, you know, there are some thinking the way that they're thinking. But listen, it's too early for one. We're only in the second game for two. And Ryan Tannehill has been known to have bounced back games, okay? He plays bad, he gets an opportunity to come back and improve himself, and he has for the most part, because if he didn't, he wouldn't still be the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. Now, his time is running short now because he's getting older. The Titans possibly want to go in another direction with their franchise quarterback, but Ryan Tannehill has shown this city that, listen, when I've had bad games that it looks like, you know, I'm a little bit unsure of myself. I come back and I play well. He did it last season for the most part until he got injured. He was coming off a season where the last game of the season he threw 3 interceptions. He came out, he looked good. It wasn't Ryan Tannehill wasn't the reason why they were losing games. So, again, it's too early. We're having this conversation too early, but I understand why we're having it, why we're having it. But I do believe he's going to play better this upcoming game. Those young guys are just going to have to wait because, one, the head coach is not giving up on the season. And if you go to another quarterback this early, that means you're giving up on the season.
And look, I'm not saying I expect it. Mm-hmm. I don't expect it. I don't expect it to be worse because, frankly, I don't know how much it could be much worse. I'm not saying that I expect Ryan Tannehill to go out there, not throw for a single touchdown pass, throw for sub 200 yards, sub 500 sub 50% completion percentage. I'm not saying I expect it. I'm just saying, what if? What if?
Well,
it's still
how would you answer
it?
If he struggles again, he's still the quarterback in week 3, is he not? There's no scenario where he's not the quarterback in week 3. Even if he really is awful.
If Ryan Tannehill has an awful game, you start to have conversations about what happens next. Now, that doesn't mean that you trade Ryan Tannehill that day or that night. That doesn't mean that you bench Ryan Tannehill for week 3, but it means that you start to explore your options around the trade deadline. It means that you start to have those conversations of who are we going to put in there if and when we decide to move on from Ryan Tannehill? Is week 3 going to be any better? How much longer can we wait? How much longer can we let this play out before we essentially just punt on the season and there's really no way that we can dig ourselves out of this hole? Now, when I say we start to have those conversations, it doesn't mean that you make that move immediately. It doesn't mean that you pick up the phone and call the Jets and say third pit round pick or bust. It just means that you need to start preparing yourself for potentially life after Ryan Tannehill that might come a little bit sooner rather than later, which was more so anticipated.
Well, they already they prepare for it. They're preparing for it. They got
preparing for it in the middle of the season.
But they are
Tannehill in the middle of the season.
I think the conversations should have been had throughout the whole summer, right? You have a whole summer to hash some of this out. Like I brought it up to you guys when the quarterback shuffle was going on, right? When the draft was coming up and people were talking about Carr and Rodgers and Garoppolo and all those guys. I did say, look, if you're out of it after, you know, as you get close to the trade deadline, if the Titans are going nowhere, then absolutely, if you could get an asset back for Ryan Tannehill in the last year of his contract, you'd be a fool not to do that. So to me, the groundwork should already have been laid for that. It's just playing it out. I don't know if you start to have the conversations, but I think, like you were saying, Derek, it's early.
Mm-hmm.
In week four, I still think you're planned to try to win.
Six or seven weeks before the trade deadline.
Trade deadline is October 31st. Yes. So that's right after 6 weeks. The game against the Falcons in week seven.
Yeah, so week seven. Okay. So essentially we have, six more weeks around there. The plan has already been put in place in regards to, our successor after Ryan Tannehill. They believe it's going to be one of the two guys that are currently on this roster now. We know who they are. Now, if they get to week, seven or six, and their record indicates, they're more than likely out of this thing. It will take an act of God for them to fight their way back into the playoffs, which means they probably would look 2-5, 1-6, somewhere around there, which I don't think is going to happen. But hypothetically, if we're speaking it, then okay, that would have to take place. Then you say, I already got my contingency plan in regards to quarterbacks. It's a little bit easier now, depending on how much you want back, to say, here, we are putting out fillers for Ryan Tannehill. It's a little bit easier to do that during as the trade deadline looms upon us. You already got your successors, whichever one you name, you hope one of them take over the job and can be your future quarterback. But I think it's a little bit easier then to say, okay, we're offering Ryan Tannehill. What is everybody? But because you got to be realistic about what you're going to get back to. Now, if you're saying I want a second round pick for a quarterback that's doing bad, because obviously he's doing bad because you're 1-6, 2-5, you're not going to get that. So you got to be realistic in what you're going to get back in regards to Ryan Tannehill. But again, this is too early. The last time I saw Ryan Tannehill have a bad game, he came back. He was 20 for 33, 266 yards, averaged over 8 yards per pass reception with 2 touchdowns, quarterback rating of 106. That's the Ryan Tannehill that I know. He will bounce. I expect him to bounce back, and these conversations will sort of simmer down a little bit. Now, if he doesn't bounce back, then okay, the conversations are going to continue to heat up just a little bit more. We're going to have continued talks until we see something different from the offense in general.
And I don't even know if I think that the fans are going to be starting to chant Malik here real soon. And I know that you're not going to make a decision based off of what the fans want, what the fans are chanting, but people are going to get impatient really quick because they already are. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, let's get a peek behind the curtain of what's going on the Chargers side of things. Ryan Dyrid, he is an insider and analyst for the Los Angeles Chargers for the Believe Podcast Network, and he will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.